from stpetecatalyst.com.
I'm Joe Hamilton, and you're watching My Mayor exclusively on St. Pete Catalyst. With our new series, My Mayor, we're spending some quality time one-on-one with each of the candidates to get to know the person behind the policy. We'll record every other Wednesday and then release it the next day on Thursday. Our format will be to spend a few minutes catching up with the candidate on how the campaign's going, and then ask the same one question to each candidate with giving them ample time to answer in depth. Our goal is, as you spend the coming weeks getting to know these candidates through these deeper answers, that you'll be able to make the right decision for you as to who should be our next leader. We'll invite you to continue the conversation on the Cloud Catalyst platform through the comments, with a reminder that we actually moderate our comments so that you can share your perspectives and your insight without fear of being hijacked by trolls or negativity. And we're back with episode 2 of My Mayor. Joining me in the Catalyst studio today is candidate Wenge Newton. Hey, Newt, how are you?
I'm blessed. Doing great.
What's new on the campaign trail?
Well, if you allow me, Joe, I would like to just have a, in my time, a little brief moment of silence and recognition the passing of Congressman Elsie Hastings. He was a civil rights icon, and his leadership and vision is going to be sorely missed in D.C. Thank you. I try to keep things proper and in order. I'm a member of the Florida House, so I have to make sure we acknowledge when we lose leadership. So, but everything is going good. The campaign is picking up. For those of you who don't know me, and I didn't do this last time, I'm Representative Wingate Newton, a former representative, also former council member here in the city of St. Pete. I served 8 years on St. Pete City Council under three mayors, Rick Baker, Bill Foster, and also 2 years with Rick Christman. My candidacy in itself is out of necessity. I was born and raised here in Midtown South St. Pete, one of the most impoverished areas in the whole city and also the whole county of 1 million people. A single divorced mom that raised 8 kids on government subsidies. I served and worked for Xerox Corporation for 18 years after graduating from high school and going to ITT. So I have 18 years of corporate American experience. I have 8 years of St. Pete local government experience and 4 years of the legislature. So in that time, I built relationships and bridges that's going to help move the city forward, because that's what's going to be needed. I'm the only one in this race that'll be able to walk onto the House floor and lobby with my colleagues to bring home much needed resources. I've done that last session, bringing home more than $5 million, surviving a $1 billion Republican veto pen because of the relationships and bridges that I built, bringing home money for happy workers, the police athletic league, the PAL, and also Kind Mouse. Those were programs that were near and dear to me because Kind Mouse feeds the hungry kids. St. Pete PAL helps with the kids with after-school programming and before-school programming. Happy Workers is early learning, and also HIPPE. HIPPE is Home Instructions for Parents of Preschool Youth. So I advocated and fought and brought home resources for those four entities. Also got 3 bills signed into law. You don't do that as a minority member and a Democratic member in the Florida House, where it's a majority Republican ran House, without being able to work across the aisle and work with people. But the campaign is going well. We're picking up momentum. We started our fundraising. We got some events scheduled on tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We're doing a Zoom town hall on April the 24th. We normally do my wife and I annual appreciation barbecue. This is our 14th year. We couldn't do it in January like we normally do it. So it'll be scheduled for April the 24th at Dell Holmes Park from 2 to 4. And then lastly, we have got a... we're having people register that want the yard signs. We're in the preparation of getting those beautiful yard signs for you to put throughout the city. The campaign is going great. We've been getting a lot of great support, people calling St. Pete voters, calling me to let me know that they got me, they support me. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's going to be all about. It's not a popularity contest. It's about the will of the people and the vote, and I'm asking for your vote. If you'd like to help and get involved with the campaign, go to www.newtformayor.com, the number 4, for mayor.com, and you can volunteer or you can contribute. But other than that, everything is going good. I'm just blessed. It's a beautiful day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to go out and rejoice in it.
That's great. Thank you. Couple notes, 4 great organizations that you mentioned, and we record the day before we broadcast, so Newt's tomorrow will actually be tonight when you see that. And all the information to connect with Newt is on your screen, as with all the candidates.
But so, the barbecue won't be tomorrow, so.
So our question today is, we're getting to know you through the people who influence you, so our question will be, who are 3 people that influence you, and we're looking for someone in your immediate life. Someone out in the world who's living, who you may or may not have even met, and then someone from history. So let's start with someone in your immediate world.
My immediate circle will be Mayor Rick Baker. As you know, I served on St. Pete City Council for 8 years under 3 mayors, 2 years under Baker, 4 years under Foster, and 2 years under Christman. So I had a front row seat to the end of the world. I know how to do it the right way, and I know how it's done the wrong way. Also, I want to look at and pay homage to all the things that we've done. I mean, we had a 25-year overnight success with a beautiful waterfront. Mayor Baker was able to get that done. At the same time, paying close attention to the area of greatest neglect, which is Midtown South St. Pete, to get a grocery store, a post office, a bank, a restaurant. And as you know, today, a lot of those things are gone because of the attentiveness of the current or the recession administrations that came behind him. So it's important that we look back to the past so we know where our future is going. He also did that with a majority Democratic council. If you didn't know that, Mayor Rick Baker was Republican. The council is always a majority Democrat. So it shows you that Democrats and Republicans can work together to get things done. Never have it been so partisan as it is now. So I look forward to drawing more on his tutelage, his expertise, his knowledge, and also getting things done with my relationships and bridges that I built in Tallahassee.
That's great. Thank you. So when you think about former Mayor Baker, can you articulate some of the personality traits that he had? Those are great accomplishments, but some of the actual personality traits that he had that made him an inspiration for you?
Yes, Mayor Baker is a people person. As you know, when I first met Mayor Baker, it wasn't I wasn't the chosen one when I ran for council in 07. And he was backing, actually supporting and taking around my opponent. But what I love more about Mayor Baker, and this is his quote, he says he loved when the silly season is over, because that's what campaigning is. It's the silly season. So you can get down to the brass tacks and start working for the people in the city. And that's what we did. I mean, when the campaign was over, we got together and we cut a ribbon on a bank. We actually broke ground and cut a ribbon on GT Federal Credit Union in the area of greatest need, which is Midtown South St. Pete. We've broke ground on the Job Corps site to get that job training and for individuals with the Department of Labor here in Midtown. We also had a ribbon cutting on the Childs Park YMCA. It's just that he exhibit the traits to get everybody to come together. Most of the time when we did groundbreakers and ribbon cutting, you had almost a majority, if not all, the council standing behind him. So it was important to be able to draw people in, no matter how you started out, is how we end. Our kids grew up together in the council, and to this day, we're the best of friends. But didn't start out that way. So it shows you that people, once you get to know them and work with them and know that they have the same value system that you have in getting things done in the area of greatest neglect, they can be a huge asset, and he is to me.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, let's move on to person number 2, someone in the world that's living that you may or may not have met that's influenced you.
I could say in the summer of 2008, when I first got on city council, at the privilege of meeting then Senator Barack Obama at D. Gibbs High School. We met back stage. We was there to present him with a key from the city, and we spent about 10 minutes talking. And what impressed me so much about the senator at the time, because he didn't become president until November That was in September. So actually it was in June. So he had a few months to go before he was elected president, the first African-American president of the United States of America. But when I was backstage, I saw a table. They had a long table full of books and memorabilia and all kind of stuff. And it was stuff there for him to sign. And what he shared with me and some of his staff did also, that before he left that building, he signed every single piece of that. I'm talking two tables long stack with books and pictures and all kind of stuff. And I was sitting there and it just touched me. I said, wow, look at the dedication, you know? People don't even know. Just all they want is a signature, and he took the time to do that. So what happened to me when I got in on council, I started hoarding all of my messages. You know, we had a council secretary that when people called, they would take messages. I would keep all my messages in the bottom drawer, and I return all my calls, good, bad, and other, because the people was the one that entrusted me with this power for a finite amount of time. So I want to make sure that when they call, I answer. Because if it rose to the level of getting me involved, then they've already called everyone and jumped through all the hoops. But he impressed me ecstatically, and I didn't have an opportunity to travel with him. But in that short amount of time, it was a huge, indelible impact he had on my life.
That's a great story. Thank you. You mentioned a couple of times reaching across the aisle is something that was important to you. Can you break down some strategies or personality traits that you have that make you able to reach across the aisle where others may not?
Yeah, first and foremost, I see people and possibilities. That's all I see. If you go to my website, newt4mayor.com, you'll see that I choose people over politicians. We get too bogged down in the politics of it all. And we get down, and when I say politics, I'm talking partisan politics. What I learned in the Florida House is that the people there, they don't come from where I come from. I was born and raised in one of the most impoverished areas in this whole county. So they didn't come up the way I could. Some of those individuals come from platinum spoons, not gold, not silver, platinum. So you have to get to know them, tell them your story. So what I did, we had a lot of different meetings that we did outside of the Capitol. I mean, we set up sometime 2 a.m, talking about family, talking about church, just burning pizza boxes and smoking cigars around a campfire. That's something I normally wouldn't do. But, you know, sometimes you have to get away from the rigmarole and get to a quiet place where you can really talk and get to know people. And you'll find out that they're no different from you. They come there to serve. They come there to help. But when they know your story and you know their story, then it's easier to work together. You don't see a Democrat over there. You don't see a Republican. You don't see a white person. You don't see a black person. You don't see a straight person. You don't see a gay person. You see someone who cares about the people they're representing, and they're there to try to do the best that they can. So if you find out the things that you can agree upon, then you can expand from there. We disagree, but in the Florida House, I would say 80 to 90% of the time when the votes go in, that board goes all green, which means everybody, every 120 members are supporting that issue. We do have things that are divisive that we hold near and dear. But other than that, it's a lot of areas that we can work on to get things done. And that's what I've done. That's how I built the bridges and established the relationships from the governor's office to the Senate president to the Speaker of the House. Because the process, you have to be able to work within that. Remember, I'm a minority member. When I was there, it was 73 Republicans, 47 Democrats. You know, they control the House, they control the Senate, they control the governor's office. So you can go up there and throw rocks and make enemies. But the problem is, at the end of the day, what are you doing for the people that sent you there? See, if not me, who? If not now, when? You're at the top of the ladder, and the people that you're supposed to be the voice for, the voiceless, you're not doing them a service if you're up there just creating chaos and not bringing home much-needed resources.
That's great. Thank you. Person number three, who's someone from history that's influenced you?
If I would say history, I would have to look at civil rights. And, of course, everybody go-to person is Dr. Martin Luther King. He said the most humble thing someone could do is serve. But also, I would lump him in with the late Congressman John Lewis and Alcee Hastings. These were civil rights icons, too. And they was making it better for the people that come behind them. I was most in touch by a gentleman I met at the Florida Legislative Black Caucus down in Fort Lauderdale. And he was fresh back from doing an unveiling of a monument for Dr. King on the Memorial Lawn. And his name was Freddie Gray. Freddie Gray was a civil rights attorney for Rosa Parks and Dr. King. Freddie Gray stood up on the podium. He was our keynote speaker. As he looked out over the room, he said, this is what the dream that King had. As you know, a lot of Dr. King's struggles was going back and forth to D.C. to try to get legislation put in place to protect our civil rights, to protect our voting rights. And he had to deal with politicians up there. And all more times than not, it wasn't an easy task. Eventually, he had to go to the president and the relationships that he built with those presidents to try to get things done. Well, what Dr. King saw in the voting rights and also what Mr. Freddie Gray was talking about was through those voting rights, getting us being able to vote, he said, I look out over this banquet room and I see 400 to 500 black representatives, senators, speakers of the houses, and also speakers of Senate presidents and pro tems and all that, all over these United States, from all over the country. And he told us, he says, it's up to you guys to get into those laws and filter out anything that's divisive, that may be separate the people, that may be racist, that may be anti-LGBTQ, whatever. You have to get in there and make sure you get those policies off the books so people can be equal. It says that all men are created equal. If that be the case, then all of us should be able to work together, live together upon the laws that should protect us all. And unfortunately, when a lot of that stuff was crafted way back when, that didn't happen. So what Mr. Gray was talking about, that was a dream, was to get African-Americans in different elected positions all over the country to be able to impact some of those rules, regulations, policies, and laws that have kept us as a people and suppressed for a long, long time. And that was very powerful to see that guy standing there. I got pictures with him, and just to know he was there on the front line with Rosa Parks, with Dr. King, along with the late John Lewis and the late Congressman Alcee Hastings, getting in good trouble.
And voting rights, there's a lot of energy around voting rights again now, and there has been for a long time. Can you help us understand some of the chests behind the energy around voting rights that maybe the general public might not understand?
Well, what the general public probably needs to know that the Supreme Court has said that the right to vote is the most protected among all other rights, for it's the very foundation that our democracy is built on. So what you got to understand is that to have a voice, you have to participate. And to participate, you have to vote. That's the way you're counted. On Tuesday night, they're not going to be counting your Facebook friends, your endorsements, or the money you raise. They're going to be counting votes. And the ones with the most votes win. So if you think your vote don't count, then you're wrong. I mean, I want your vote. That's why I'm doing this. I need your vote. And your vote will put me in a position to do good and get in good trouble and to move the needle forward as it pertains to St. Pete. But most importantly, we have to register. We have to vote. Are there impediments? Yes, there'll be impediments. I see, but when you got an imbalance of power or representation, it's always going to be that. But it's up to us, like I said earlier, and Mr. Freddie Gray alerted to try to keep that balance, that scale that you see even, so people have access to vote. You should be able to vote. I think that having, even when you look at Democratic primaries and Republican primaries, those things to me are forms of voter suppression. Both parties does it. But my forefathers and mothers, they got burnt, murdered, died, and hung for us to have the right to vote. So if there's something coming up that's going to affect you, you should be able to vote on that. No matter your party affiliation or whatever group you're in, if you are a registered voter and you live in that district or that city or that state, you should be able to vote. That's just my belief. Unfortunately, it's a lot of laws that are in place, and it's necessary to have voting rights acts and all that to try to keep the field level, because there is people out there that will have you not be able to vote. The most urgent thing I saw was when we went through the Amendment 4, over 5.4 million people voted for those individuals to have their rights restored and be able to participate in the electoral process. However, in doing so, when they were selling that, they also sold that the fines and fees should be paid to right anybody that was wrong while you were creating those felonies. And I understand that. But ultimately, it made an impediment for people to be able to vote. But that's nothing worse than what's happening now. Just last year, we arrested 54,772 5- to 17-year-olds. Hear me now, arrests. That's juvenile arrest records. those individuals with two more arrests won't even be able to participate in the process, even when they're old enough. Because the 13th Amendment allows you to turn man to slave. So if you are a felon, those rights are taken away under the 13th Amendment, and you become state property, and you can't even participate in the process, even after you pay your debt to society, which is beyond me. But it's obviously a big deal because you see so much restrictions and rules around it. I mean, it's just voting. You should be able to go make your mark, make your representation, and vote.
Thanks so much. Candidate Newton on My Mayor, Episode 2. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
From stpcatalyst.com.